Good morning. Thank you, brother, for your confession. I speak for myself, my family, that we receive it. And please know that the vast majority of the encouragement far outweighs the sin that you may have committed, the encouragement that our family has received from your ministry. Thank you. Well, you know, there are some days that I'm utterly in awe at the power of the Word of God written over 2,000 years ago, in total awe, that it could have such personal and intimate application to my life on this day, at this very moment. And when that awe turns to belief, my faith grows the most. I'd ask you to turn to the words of God found in Mark chapter 14, verses 26 to 31. And while you're turning, I'd like to set the stage for you of where we are. My family's been studying the book of Mark. We're in 14. This is the night before Jesus dies. Some call it the Last Supper, Monday, Thursday. Much has transpired in the final week leading up to the crucifixion. But Jesus has prepared his disciples well for this moment. At least three times in the last couple of weeks, he tells them that he will be captured, tortured, and be killed, and be raised again. But they still don't quite get it. They're hearing with their ears, but not with their hearts. Now, Jesus knows that there are difficult days ahead for his disciples, so he must encourage them to trust in him and his words. In the last 7 days, he has given them two specific occasions to believe his word. Very unusual settings away from his presence to find things exactly as he says they will be. They can trust his word. Of course, he's done this for the last 3 years of his life, but it seems like he's particularly driving it home a little bit deeper in this last week. The first one's in Mark 11, the story of the colt. Remember, Jesus needed an animal. He comes into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. He tells his disciples to go into town. You're going to see a colt tied up at a certain place. He says, take that colt. And when someone asks you, why are you stealing my colt, tell them Jesus needs it and all will be well. And it happened just as Jesus said it would. A second time, a few days later, just before this Passover meal, Mark chapter 14, the specific details are given to find the room for the Passover. Jesus says specifically to Peter and to John, and that point is important as we go on in this story, go into the city. You're going to find a man walking around with a pitcher of water. Follow him wherever he goes. Eventually, he's going to walk into a house. Follow him into that house. Talk to the guy that owns that house. Ask him where the room is that is prepared for Jesus and his disciples. He will take you upstairs and show you a big room perfectly furnished for us for the evening. Jesus was reminding Peter and John that he was God, and what he said he would do would happen. These are head-scratching details that only the Son of God can do. Mark 14:16 tells us that Peter and John found it as he said. They found it as he said. The words of Jesus are so true. So they have the Passover meal. It's very emotional, very beautiful setting. We read in John chapter 14 through 17 some of the most four beautiful chapters in the Word of God, comforting words. These are all done on Thursday night at this Last Supper. They're assuring words of their master about to die that all will be well. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in me. Believe and trust. Believe and trust. In fact, he says it six times in the first 12 verses of chapter 14. Brothers and sisters, read these words. Let the words comfort your soul in difficult days. I read them this morning to the dear ladies over at the Pearl Home. John chapter 14, verse 1. Don't let your heart be troubled. Jesus has us under control. He's going to build a mansion. All the pain's going to go away. But in the midst of these comforting words, there are warnings that things are going to get tough for the disciples. But again, Jesus says, trust me, trust my words. John 13:19, John 14:29, and 16:4, he says, now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Jesus is reminding them that his word is true and can be trusted completely. What he says will happen, will happen. And when it does, don't be like everyone else and be amazed and starry-eyed at the power, but use it to believe in me. Let it grow your faith so that when the tough times come, you will be strong. Brothers and sisters, if you ever feel blown away by every little trial in your life, maybe you and I need a bit more of the solid words of Jesus in your life, in my life, to grow our faith. So what difficult words does Jesus have for them tonight? Mark 14:18, one of you will betray me. Wow. Tough words for 12 guys who have given up everything to be with Jesus these last 3 years. But Jesus is known for asking the tough question. And their response is proper. There is sorrow at the truth of the word. They ask this question. With sorrow, the scriptures say, is it I? Is it I, Lord? Am I the one who will sin this great sin of betraying you? You said it was happening. We know that you always, it always comes about what you say. Is it I, Lord? Search me, O God. Try me. Know my heart. Am I the sinner here? I don't trust my heart, God. It deceives me. I see it again and again when I sin against someone. Is it I? Is it I? Oh, that this would be our response whenever the words of Jesus come to us in the form of a rebuke or sin. A 1 John 1:8-9 feel to us that where we are not being liars in our approach to sin in our lives, but we confess it. Or a James 1:23-25 science project with our sin, where we hold up the mirror of God's word to our lives and beg God to show us our sin. Not just one of those regular mirrors that we look at every morning, but one of those hotel mirrors, the makeup mirrors. Have you ever seen one of those? The ones with the bright, bright lights and the strong magnification? Wow. You want to see some of the wrinkles and problems in your face? Look at one of those mirrors. That's why the women use it, and then they put makeup on to cover it all up, I guess. The makeup mirrors. But this was the proper response. Oh, that we would be willing to say, is it I, when our sin is being pointed out. Bring on the magnifying glass to my sin, Lord. I'm so deceived, I can't see it. But Jesus puts them at ease, exposes Judas and the betrayer. Judas leaves the meal, and now we are verse 26 of Mark 14. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. It's a nice meal, that Last Supper. Got rid of the bum Jesus, sang a song, going out for an evening stroll to talk about good things now. Judas is gone. We finally figured out the problem. A little bit of downtime, a little taking a break, vegging out, basking in the comforting words of Jesus from the meal. But as we know, there's not much downtime with Jesus. Life's too short to be vague. Jesus mixes it up again, tells them that they are all going to give up on him. All of you will be offended of me this night. You will take off and run for the hills. What? I thought we took care of the problem with Judas. There can't be more problems and more deserters in our midst, can there? You mean there's more sin to deal with? Come on, Jesus. Didn't we deal with enough sin for tonight? Enough sinners for one night? And of course, Peter opens his mouth. Lord, I already gave you one, is it I, tonight, just a few hours ago. I really don't have another one. I love you too much to be a sinner like that. How about that? Not I, Lord, or is it I, but instead, a not I, Lord. Now, this is a dangerous zone. It doesn't fit in with 1 John 1:8, that deceiving nature of sin. the sin that crouches at the door, the sin that doesn't expose itself. In fact, it even dresses itself up by saying how much I love you, God. Not I wouldn't do that. I love you way too much for that to happen. We mask our sin in devotion. What an offense and stench that must be to God. Hiding nasty, smelly, dirty sin with devotional love. That would be like gift wrapping a blowout diaper in a nice gift wrapping and handing it to the Lord with a smile. Now, those of you who don't know what a blowout diaper is, you will someday. Or your memory and olfactory nerves are failing you right now. Peter says, Lord, you might be talking to everyone else here about this sin, but I love you too much to be included in that number. Well, brothers and sisters, never let your devotion and love for God be a hindrance to admitting your sin. But Jesus comes back at him, harder, with a future prediction. Remember the colt you found, Peter, almost to say? Those were my words. Remember, what I speak comes about exactly as I said. Be careful, Peter. When Jesus says something's going to happen, you will find it as he said it was. Our hearts deceive us. They don't want us to see it. Sure, there are parts that love God immensely as Peter did, but we don't want to see the parts that still need help. There are parts of us that are clean, but Jesus wants us all clean. That is why God brings it to us, to take us deeper, cleanse us more. The sin is there. Jesus says, Peter, not only will you be a coward, but you're going to deny me. Take some deeper. Let me illustrate the way we sometimes look at sin. David, can you put that picture up on the wall? This is somebody's hair. It looks kind of normal, right? But there's a bit of a problem there. Show the next picture, David. We get a little bit closer. You see these white things here? Shampoo maybe or soap? No. Not so much. Now, you know the next picture I'm saying. You're all making the face. It's not going to be pretty, right? Well, that's going to magnify this piece of hair 200 times. David? There he is. Anybody know what that is? Yeah, it's a louse. And there's a lot of them, and we get lice. 200 times. That's what's in that guy's hair. You see those things there gripping him? That's why you need that little tool to get lice out of your hair, because they're holding on. That's hair, by the way. That's not some rope. That's hair. That's 200 times. Not a fun-looking guy, is he? That's where our sin is sometimes. It grips us. But the real problem here is we don't see that. If you look just at that guy's hair from the distance, you say everything's okay. But do you want this stuff in your hair? No. Some people put gasoline in their hair to get rid of these guys here. You can see why. Okay, you can take that picture off. But sin can be that way. It can be deceiving. We look at something and we don't see it. Sin is holding on with its claws, just like that little louse was, and you don't see it. I don't think we've used pictures and exhortations before, but I don't think I've violated anything in that, but you can take a magnifying glass to the Church of Book Order if you want. Let me know. So Peter has two choices at this point. First choice is, Lord, I don't see how this can be true. I love you too much, God. How can I deny you? But I know, Lord, you speak the truth. I beg you to help me. I plead for your mercy. You know better than I know me. Show me what I can't see. That's choice one. Or choice two is, Lord, you don't know how spiritual I really am. You don't really know how much I love you and how far sin is from me right now. It's just not me, Lord. So Jesus comes back. Peter misses it. Peter doubles down more vehemently. To double down is a gambling term that means to take more risk when it might be a good idea to cut your current loss or to fold. We hear the term in politics more recently, to double down. Somebody says something controversial, they have an opportunity to admit he was wrong, but they dig in and explain further and go further as to why they are right. Peter does that here. You say in 6 hours I will be denying you, but I say in 6 hours I will be with you, feeling your pain and going to the cross with you. And then what happens? Well, the scriptures say that they all join in, right? He speaks the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise, verse 31. Likewise also say they all. In about 3 hours, they all go from the is it I club to the not I club. They all join in the doubling down. Peter leads, they follow. Side note here, what a lesson for leaders, fathers, older children, deacons, elders. Be careful how you respond to someone pointing out your sin. Others will probably join you in your leading. Lead well, lead with humility, and those that follow will more likely be humble. Lead with your pride, and you're going to have massive problems. But notice an important point of this passage. It's a bit subtle, but it's huge in its implication. When Jesus gave him the problem of them all scattering, he didn't just say, bummer, you're all leaving me, I'm dying, and that's it. It's been a good ride, but now the bad guys all win. No, look again at verse 28. Verse 28. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Jesus says there's going to be restoration. And it's all after the resurrection. We'll meet up in Galilee and plan out the next 2,000 plus years. Don't wallow in your sin. Confess it and claim the power of the risen Savior. Christian counselor, don't miss these important words. There's always a promise with the exposure of sin. Mom and dad, there's always a grace to conquer your children's failings of the law. Elders, there's always a mercy to save the sinner. Prodigal son, there's always a gospel to protect from the final judgment. Jesus is going to Galilee after his resurrection before them. He's going before. Same words he said in John 14, I'm going ahead of you to prepare a place for you. He's going to make it all well. He's going to make it all right. Even though you desert me, I'll take care of it. So what are the applications for us from this passage? First of all, this side of glory, you will have sin. The longer you live, the more God will point it out. The more you recognize it and repent of it and get freedom from it, the more joy and blessing will flow. And the key here is, remember how quickly they went from, is it I, Lord, am I the sinner, to, no, that's not me, I love you too much. Be careful of the deception of sin. Secondly, believe the words of Jesus. Trust the word of God. Make it your mainstay. When you see its power, use it to grow your faith instead of just be awed by its wonder. And thirdly, always remember that when Jesus points out a hard path for us, like dealing with our sins and failures, he always promises to go before us. The hard words that deal with our sin are always, always, always accompanied with the wonderful news that God can heal and he can save. May we never give anyone the news of the harsh reality of sin without giving them the life-giving source of the plan of redemption found only in Christ. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the gospel truth. I pray you receive it today. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for the risen Christ, the one who goes before us. Lord, we are sometimes overwhelmed by our sins, and the ones you continue to point out to us as you go deeper into our lives. Lord, we think so much of our lives loves you. But you want to show maybe another little area. I pray that we'd never refuse that, Lord. May there be another area of our life conquered for Jesus, more joy, more blessing, because there's less sin and less of us. Lord, may we receive those words. Father, I pray that as we contemplate the Is It I Club or the Not I Club, Father, I pray that you would convict our hearts or souls, even now. If we think of a time that we weren't quick to admit our sin, even within the last hours or days, Lord, that we would confess it even now. If we have someone to talk to, that we'd be willing to do it, even now, if they're here, or later, if they're not. Help us, Father. May we receive your words. Now we'll take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.